And so I'm glad to be here with you. Nowadays, I serve as a ministry consultant and a spiritual director through Flourish Ministries, which I founded a few years ago. So day to day, this looks like being a community pastor, working with adults of all ages, as well as coming alongside churches and denominations on special projects. One of the topics that I speak most about and teach most about is spiritual formation. How do we, over the course of our lives, learn to notice and respond to God's love? That's what spiritual formation is, noticing and responding to God's love. One way we do that is through spiritual disciplines, which are intentional practices that grow our understanding of who God is and then who we are as a result. So today, I'd like to talk with you about the spiritual practice of resting or Sabbath keeping. In Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, if we read the Message translation, this is here what we hear Jesus say. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says to you, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So my hope this morning is that you'll gain a new and renewing understanding of God's gift of rest. And to do that, we need the Holy Spirit. So would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I pray that you would bring a vision for renewal in our lives, a vision that we can address the weariness in our lives through the restoration that you give. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In May 2020, that was right in the middle of the beginning of the pandemic, when it seemed like everybody was looking for a creative way to have fun and at safe distances, I bought a used kayak. Also at that time, my two children were home and it was getting difficult to be in the same house. I don't need to spell this out, but just, you know, but also, you know how it was, just like, when is this going to end? What is happening? I do not understand. It was getting pretty intense. So I bought a used kayak, and in fact, between services, I looked at Facebook and a memory popped up, and it was 6 years ago today that I first got my kayak in the water. So how interesting that I'm telling this story. Kayaking for me is peace and freedom. It's something to do with water. I load my kayak on my silver Subaru Outback that you'll see out in the parking lot, and I go to Walborn Reservoir, which is about 25 minutes away. Anybody ever been to the reservoir here? It's my favorite place to go. And in my experience, there are a few key kayaking rules you cannot break. The first is always, always, always wear your life jacket. The second is don't go in the water if there are clouds threatening, because water and lightning and the human body aren't a good mix. And the third is if the wind is blowing really hard, you should start your kayaking time against the wind, so you're expending energy against the wind, so that when you're tired on the way back to shore, the wind is at your back and kind of helps push you in. And I usually follow all rules, except there was one time I needed to go kayaking. I needed the peace and the beauty on a day where my head was filled with stress and worry. So I drove to the reservoir, I unloaded my boat, I strapped on my life jacket, I got my paddle ready, I hauled the kayak to the water's edge, and then I looked up. and thought, wow, those are some really dark clouds hanging out over the water. And then I looked at the water and I thought, oh, the wind is blowing like really hard. I should have turned back. And I did not. So I pushed off from shore, soon discovering that the wind and the current were so strong, there were white cap waves crashing into and over my boat in a reservoir. My boat was immediately blown off course because the wind was so strong, it was just driving me along. And what did I do? Well, I thought it was, and so I kept paddling, but not into the wind as I should have, not expending energy at the start of the paddle. No, I let the wind drive me into the middle of the lake, and within 10 minutes realized I've just made a big mistake. And then it started raining. Hard. Sure, but I could barely stop my boat from being blown through the water, let alone work to turn it all the way around. So I realized for the first time since I had started kayaking, I was actually in some trouble. I looked back in the direction of the dock, and between me and it, I saw three little islands, maybe each about half the size of this room, and they had lots of trees on each of them, breaking the wind. So I thought maybe I could hopscotch my way back to shore by pulling onto each one of those islands, catching my breath, and then getting to the next one. So I furiously started paddling, wind in my face, rain pelting me, white cap waves were rocking my kayak, till I got to that first island. And when I pulled up, I saw that the wind was whipping down either side of it. You could tell from the water current. But at the very edge of that island was a little pocket of calm. So I steered toward it, and upon reaching it, I felt the wind let up. Like I could actually lift my paddle out of the water and rest without my boat being knocked around by the current. So I rested. But I needed to keep going. The wind and the rain, they were not letting up. So I steered into the current and I furiously paddled to island number two. And as before, I found that little pocket of stillness and I rested. And when I felt ready, again, off to island number three, and I rested, and from there, I could see the boat launch and the shore. They were still a bit ways away, but it was a little bit more hopeful by that point. So once my arm muscles were aching, I started paddling the most furious, desperate, ugly kind of paddling that I've ever done in my life, and I made it to safety. And it turns out that I had found rest in something called water eddies. An eddy is the name of an area of a current that's actually flowing in the opposite direction of the main current. And I have a picture for you here. If you notice that rock that's in the water, just downstream of that rock with the red arrows is an area that appears more calm. That is an eddy. I had unknowingly found the eddy at the end of each of the three islands. So where the wind was howling down either side, I was tucked into this little spot where the water current was literally flowing in the opposite direction, and the result was a space of calm. I had gone to the water that day because my mind felt like that wind-swept lake. So many priorities were swirling around me, pulling me in different directions. I was struggling to see which way to go. And even though I broke some really important kayaking rules that day, I found pockets of stillness in the midst of it. And it made me wonder, why is it so hard to rest? Our culture places value on busyness. It tells us that the busier we are, the more successful or valuable we are. But with that kind of thinking, rest is weakness. With that kind of thinking, we go against what our mind and our bodies need, and we continue to pile on our commitments, we continue to say yes to projects and people, we leave little margin in our lives for peace and stillness. So last week, I watched online the service and saw that Pete preached about living well within limitations. And he named for us the foundation of why it's difficult to do that. He said, we are plagued with an ongoing and insatiable desire for more. We don't like limits. Who resonates with that? Yeah. Pete added that when we try to live without limits, we only end up harming ourselves. We're surrounded by the cultural philosophy of the busy you are, the more valuable you are, but I want to share with you some good news this morning. That is absolutely not true, not from an emotional standpoint, not from a physical standpoint, and not from the standpoint of Scripture. What if you believed that rest is non-negotiable, woven into your very being by the loving God who created you? What if I told you that you from your world for a while and the world will keep on spinning? What if we believed together that our inherent God-given worth is not at all connected to our calendars? Because it's all true. And so we're going to look through some scriptures starting in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. As Pete taught last week, these chapters tell us that the Lord created the day and the night, the land and the water, the creatures and the people in 6 days. But then he rested. So if you look at Genesis 2:2, it says, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. The God of the Bible modeled for us at the very start that there is a time to create and there is a time to rest. It says God blessed the 7th day, that rest day, and made it holy. And so what does holy mean? Holy means set apart. It means dedicated to a special purpose. Rest was modeled by God and marked by God as something that would look different from any other time. This work-rest rhythm is woven into the world by the very God who created it. And in fact, it's also woven into our DNA, our bodies. There's been scientific research that has shown that if a body, if viewed like a machine, it can work like crazy for 6 days straight. But guess what happens on the 7th day? That body machine begins to break down. And so this Genesis work-rest rhythm shows up throughout the Bible, where the term Sabbath is also used in conjunction with rest. So what does Sabbath mean? It means to stop, to cease. In one place Sabbath shows up is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, as part of the Ten Commandments. And these commandments from God were guidelines on how the people could flourish, not only in their relationship with God, but in their relationship with each other. Before I talk about this, I just want to mention that the commandments and the laws in the Bible are like the guardrails on a bridge. So if you're walking across a bridge, the guardrails keep you from steering off the path. So it's not just for your health, but those guardrails are there for your very life. In a similar way, the Bible has guidelines for living called commandments and laws. And it's not that God is just arbitrarily saying, ha-ha, you can't do that, you can't do that. Instead, no, God is giving us limitations or boundaries for our daily living out of God's immense love for us. God wants us to flourish, and he knows what that can look like because he created us. And as we heard last week from Pete, human limitation is a divine design to embrace. So back to Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. There are some commandments that tell us how to love and worship God alone. And there are other commandments that tell us how to love our neighbors, and those include things like don't lie to each other, don't murder, don't covet your neighbor's belongings. But then there's this one command that includes more detail than any other command, and that's Exodus 20, verse 8. And it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should do your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." And the verses after that go on to make sure you really know what this commandment is about, because it's saying you need to rest, but it's not just for you. It's for everybody in your house, anybody that works with you. It's for your animals that work for you. It's about everything that you have charge over. So as I mentioned, Sabbath means stop or cease, and holy means set apart to look different. And the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So in other words, remember to set apart time when you stop for a while. So we saw in Genesis that Sabbath and resting was modeled by the Creator God, and Sabbath is also part of the Ten Commandments. There are actually biblical references to resting and Sabbath all throughout the Scripture. It's that important. It's not just this nice thing that we get to do when we have time, or something we're forced to do when we hit a wall and we're worn out. Because it boils down to this. Our lives are meant to include the goodness of Sabbath so that we remember. Our work is important, but our ultimate well-being rests in God's strength. So I brought a visual with us. Imagine that you're sitting at a table, and in front of you sits a pitcher filled to the brim. And what's in it? That pitcher is full of your energy, your motivation, your abilities, and your time. I need three hands. Now, imagine that someone begins to set down on that table cup, cup in front of you. And each cup represents a category of your life. So let's name some of those cups, because each cup is going to require that you put some time and energy into them from your pitcher. So, is there a cup for your workplace? Family? Start pouring. How about friendships or church? Pour a little bit more. How about you live somewhere? It probably needs a little cleaning. The grass outside is high. The dog needs to be fed and walked. And those errands need to be run because you're out of milk. But have you checked the car's oil lately? Wait a second. The neighbor is calling for help again at their house. And you volunteered for that church meeting that's meeting tonight. And you said you'd bring homemade cookies, but dinner needs to get on the table. Oh, wait, you forgot the milk. And the dog's waiting for her second walk. And poor, poor, poor. You've been so faithful and attentive, pouring energy and time into each life area, but eventually, what's happening to this? It's empty. It's empty. Yet those cups on the table still need filling, so you shake just to see what may be left because you're still trying to pour out. But friends, you can't pour from an empty pitcher. We need to rest and refill so that we can be restored and then pour back into these areas of. And I would suggest to you, friends, that it has to be in that order. We rest and we refill, and God restores us, and then we pour out. This is what the Old Testament ideas of Sabbath and rest look like. And now let's look at a passage in the New Testament. By the time we get to the gospel time frame, the stories we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the created concept of Sabbath rest has been unfortunately developed into a rather large list of do's and don'ts. These people were so concerned about getting the commandments done the right way that they forgot why the commandments were given by God in the first place. So in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23, we find Jesus having to explain Sabbath and rest when he and his disciples were walking through a field. And on their walk, as their fingers trailed through the tall wheat, they might pick off some of the grain and pop it into their mouths because they were hungry. But this was against the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath keeping because it would have been considered in preparation for a meal, which was prohibited Sabbath work by the religious rule makers. So here's the story. There's a lot of words on this slide, so I will read it to you. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, David entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." In these verses, we see that Sabbath isn't just about do's and don'ts, as in this is what rest looks like, and so that means you can't do that. No, Jesus is explaining that Sabbath was made by God to meet the needs of his people, to meet our needs. And it's not just a rule for the sake of being a rule, as in don't pick a piece of grain off if it's Sabbath day. No, actually, Sabbath is a loving limitation given by God for our flourishing. But notice that Jesus says something powerful in the final verse, verse 28. He says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." In this passage and other stories in the Gospels, Jesus spells out this radical idea. Sabbath rest with all of its healing properties isn't an end in itself. As in, when we rest, it's not the rest that has the power to fully restore us. Jesus proclaimed that the concepts of rest and Sabbath find their source in him. He is the creator and Lord of Sabbath rest. So yes, regular rest and Sabbaths were created to bring some healing and restoration into our lives, but also complete healing and restoration have a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. He is the source of all things. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, "Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So when we are feeling worn down and broken and weary and we just need a little break, yes, God's gift of Sabbath rest renews us. But sometimes a little nap is not going to cut it. Haven't you felt the weariness of life sometimes? Haven't you felt that worn outness and wondered, is there a remedy for this that I'm carrying around inside of me? And Jesus says to you today, "I am the remedy." And so we go back to our verses from Matthew chapter 11, 28. What I'd like to do is invite you into a spiritual practice of noticing what arises for you when I read these verses again. So to what word or phrase might feel like it has a little spotlight on it, because perhaps that might be the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder and saying, pay attention. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says to you, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live lightly. I'd like to take the last couple minutes here and ask you if you're comfortable to participate in something called the Palms Prayer. And what this means is we'll use our palms down and up. When we turn our palms down, it'll mean that we are trying to let something go. And when we turn our palms up, it will mean we're trying to hand something to God, but also from him. And so if you would be willing to join me, I'd invite you to just get in your chair for a moment, put your hands palm down on your lap, and you could even close your eyes if you'd like. Just take a breath. And bring to mind your imagination, what has it looked like for you in your weariness, not just physical weariness, but emotional and spiritual. In your mind's eye, consider that invitation we read in Matthew 11, where Jesus is saying, come to me and find your real rest. And with your palms down in a gesture of letting go, I invite you to consider, when it comes to rest, what worries or obstacles come to mind for you? And with Jesus' help, could you begin to drop those away? At Jesus' invitation, would you drop those away and ask, even ask Jesus' help, please take those distractions and obstacles from my life. They no longer serve me. You are not bound to them. Jesus calls you to freedom. And then if you would turn your palms up, friends. Jesus' invitation to you is to receive an unforced rhythm of grace, to receive him as your model of working and walking and living, to receive his company, to get away with him, to recover your life. And so would you envision in your mind, what would it look like for you to receive Jesus' invitation, not just to regular rest, but restoration that he is offering you? I'll give you a moment of silence. Loving Father, I pray over my friends here that they might hear a specific invitation that your Spirit is giving them today regarding the weariness they carry around in themselves. Would you, by your Spirit, enable them to receive your invitation and open them up more fully to your presence, that they might release what is no longer helpful for them in their lives in order to receive what is. And as they gather around all the various tables around which this church is centered, would you help them to remind one another to live more slowly, to watch Jesus's model, and to receive the company that he offers. I pray over everyone here in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.